This morning's scripture reading will be taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. That's the book of Joshua, chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. And it read, "Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, and she dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, 'Get to the mountain. Let the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have found. Afterward, you may go your way.' So the men said to her, 'We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all of your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear.' Then she said, 'According to your words, so be it.' And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window."
It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see those who are here visiting with us. If you are visiting with us, we want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guests, and we're thankful and grateful for you being here. All month, we are speaking on the great theme of hope. And one thing that all of us could use is hope. But one thing we do know, that before the foundation of the world, God had already offered hope to the world. He had offered it through his son, Jesus the Christ. And for that, we ought to be eternally grateful to the God of heaven that had the love for mankind to think about us and to give us what we need in order to live this life. This morning, I want us to talk about hope, the lifeline to God. When we think about hope, the lifeline from God, I wanted us to come from Joshua chapter 2. Because when we consider the hope that was offered to Rahab and her house, and how Rahab offered that hope to her house, we find ourselves sometimes in the same situation. When we think of a lifeline, we think of something that someone or something depends on in order to provide a means of escape from a difficult or hazardous situation. We stop and we think about the things of this life and how sometimes we need that lifeline ourselves. Reminded on many occasions when people are swimming and something takes place. Maybe they lose their breath or something happens in the water and they need a life preserver thrown to them. Well, man was in their sins and God threw a life preserver. His name is Jesus the Christ. In Joshua chapter 2, we get to about 1380 B.C. It's before Christ. Here we understand that the children of Israel was about to go and conquer Canaan. Remember on previous occasions, God had caused the children of Israel to cross the Red Sea, having power and victory over Pharaoh and his army. Furthermore, we find God with his people, and they are conquering the kings of Sihon and Og. Here we come to this particular juncture in the life of the children of Israel. The first five chapters, Israel is entering into Canaan. The next seven chapters up to chapter 12, they're conquering Canaan. And then the last chapters, we find them possessing Canaan. In Joshua chapter 2, I want us to consider verses 1 and following. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab. Let me say something about Rahab. Rahab is in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 1 in verse number 5. She is in the, she is the grandmother of David, Jesse rather, and the great-grandmother of David. And so here we have this harlot, Rahab, and she's lodging in Jericho. Verse 2, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. It's interesting, there was no social media, no newspaper, but they found out that the children of Israel were on their way. I found that very interesting. In verse number 3, so the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. They knew that this was about to take place. They understood what God had done to Pharaoh. They understood what God had done to those two kings. And now they're about to enter into Jericho, and now they're afraid. Verse number 4. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men were, where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, notice what takes place from 8 to what was read in our hearing, verse number 15. Now, before they lay down, she came up. Now, this was before what took place in the first 7 verses. She came to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land, now notice this, are faint-hearted because of you. They heard of what God did with the children of Israel. They heard what God did to Pharaoh and his army, drying up the Red Sea, causing his army to be covered with the water and thus destroyed. They heard about what God did to Sihon and Og. And now the people of Jericho are faint-hearted. They are afraid. And Rahab, well, she takes this information and she's doing something with it. Verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Now, keep in mind that Egypt was a very powerful nation, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth at that particular time. And here we have Jehovah with the children of Israel, and he utterly destroys them. They hear about this. Well, they're faint-hearted. They're afraid. But we take notice of something. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Notice the response to God's work. Often when I read the book of Exodus, I would see how God was creating, developing faith in the children of Israel, but he was also showing the people of Egypt that he had the power over their gods. But when we see what God was doing, he was putting all the nations on notice that I am the God of heaven, that no one can overpower me, that I am the one that everyone must bow down to. Their hearts melted at the work of God. Notice what he goes on to say. And more, any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven. Now, this is Rahab saying this, above and on earth beneath. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. She needed evidence. She wanted keset. She wanted kindness because she demonstrated that kindness to the spies. Verse 13, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. They knew that God was going to come through Jericho and utterly destroy it. And so what did she want? She didn't want to be destroyed with Jericho. So she approaches these men. She talked to these men. She offered them some kindness. And because of that, we see something very powerful taking place. Notice verse number 14. So the men answered her, our lives for your lives, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. He's giving her their word. If you will, you can look at chapter 6 and verse number 17, and this is fulfilled, that they truly did keep their word, that when they came in and they were destroying Jericho, it was the spies that told the men there to go get Rahab and her household and bring them out, and then they utterly destroyed Jericho. So they did keep their word. Verse number 15. Then she let them down by rope. Now, I highlighted that word rope. And the reason why is because from this point forward, we're going to see the word rope or scarlet cord, or we're going to see scarlet cord in other verses. And I find it very interesting because this particular word, when we look at it in the Hebrew language, literally means an expectation, a hope, ground of hope, things hoped for, an outcome. Notice what we go, what the Bible says. Verse 15. Then she let them down by a rope through the window for her house on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So the men said to her, notice this, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless we have come into the land. You bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. Now, notice this same rope that Rahab used to let these men down. He tells her, you bring this rope up. Why? Because this was going to be the scarlet cord. This was going to be the rope that was going to deliver them. When you consider this particular word and the powerful aspect of it, it was the hope that let them down, and it was going to be that hope that was going to save them later. And I thought about when we consider from the window to the ground, it was hope, that scarlet cord. The ancients at this particular time would use a particular insect called a coccus. And this coccus insect, when you would smash it, it would turn to a red scarlet blood, and they would use that blood for the rope or that material to dye the material. And I found that very interesting because when I think of Colossians 1 in verse number 20, Brother Dennis, as you was talking about Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, we think about the connection from heaven to earth. And that is the cross. That is the blood of Jesus Christ, Evelyn. We think about from the window to the ground was that expectation, that hope, that ground of hope. And just like our expectation is the hope of heaven, but it comes with a cord. Metaphorically speaking, it's the cross. That no one can go to heaven without the cross. No one can go to glory without the cross of Jesus the Christ. Notice what he goes on to say in verse number 17. So the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home." Now, there's a few things that we see here. Number one, in verse number 14, he says, don't tell anyone. In verse number 18, bind the rope up. Here we understand that she wasn't supposed to tell anybody of the plan. Number two, she was supposed to bring that rope up. But number three, if her household was going to be saved, everybody had to be in her house. Meaning, all of Jericho had no hope. All of Jericho was going to be destroyed. The only hope that was in Jericho was in Rahab's house. Did y'all get that? The only hope that Jericho had was in Rahab's house, but it wasn't offered to Jericho. It was only offered to Rahab and her household. But why? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 31, she did this by faith. In James 2 and verse number 25, she was justified by her works. She paid attention to God. She had hope in God. And because of the hope that the spies gave her, she gave that same hope to her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters. That caused me to think. You think of the world that we live in, 1 John 5 and verse number 19, where the Bible says the world lieth in wickedness, Brother Royce. Sin is all around us, ever among us. And we understand that the light of the glorious gospel came to give men hope of eternal life. Hence, we take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Good news. And it still is good news some 2,000 years later. And it is those of us who have obeyed the gospel, who have the hope, that one hope, Ephesians 4, verses 4 and 5, that one hope of eternal life, that one hope of Jesus Christ coming back and getting the church. We have that hope of glory with God. It is our responsibility, because we have the hope, to go tell everybody about this hope. That's our responsibility. And because we have hope, because everything around us is going to be destroyed. 2 Peter 3 verses 9 and following. We know that God is going to destroy this earth. It's going to be melted. It's going to flee away from his sight. Revelation 20 verses 11 through verse 13. We know for a fact that nothing that we see, which is temporal, is going to be eternal. We know that. And so with that being said, because we have the hope that is from God, we have this lifeline, which is the gospel. Friends, we have to continue to stay focused on telling everyone about Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's our responsibility. That's the hope that we have. Notice what he goes on to say in verse number 19. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. He says, we're not responsible if someone steps outside of the ark of safety. Just as the ark of safety in the book of Genesis was inside the ark, we know that the ark of safety in Jericho was inside of Rahab's house, not outside. If someone was to come inside, and then once the besiegement took place from Israel against Jericho, and they was to run outside, they said that if they was to perish, that would not be their fault. Verse number 20. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear, Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away and departed. And she bound the scarlet in the window. Friends, we stop and we think about the scarlet rope, the scarlet cord. We consider our hope in Jesus Christ. I want us to take a quick little perusal through the Old Testament, going to the New Testament, of how this word hope is used. And hopefully it will give us encouragement in the midst of the times in which we live in, even today. In Job 14, in verse number 19, just put these in your notes real quick. Job uses this idea of hope. In Psalm 62, in verse number 5, he uses this idea of expectation. But I want you to turn to Proverbs 26 and look at verse number 12. In Proverbs 26, in verse number 12, notice what the Bible here has to say. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than him. If those who were in Rahab's house would have thought to their own self, I need to get out of here, it's getting crazy, it's more hope for a fool than it was for that individual. It's the same for us, Brother Chad, in the church. As members of the Lord's church, we got to stay inside of the ark of safety, which is the church of Christ. That's where the safety is. Friends, we got to stay inside of the ark. Why? Because that's where the blood covers us. The church, Acts 20 and verse number 28, it covers the church. It covers those who are in Christ. So when we consider this idea of hope, turn to the book of Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, we see this word being used, and it's very powerful and very encouraging, because our hope is in the word of God. Our hope is in the God who gave the word. In Psalm 119, verse number 49, notice what the Bible here says. Remember the word of your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. What has God done to cause hope in our lives, friends? He's done a lot for us. He has given us eternal life. He's given us all spiritual blessings, which is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 74 of the same division. Psalm 119, 74. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me. Why? Because I have hope in your word. Friends, our hope is in the word of God. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, who is the word. Drop down to verse number 81. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Look at verse 114. He says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Look at verse 147. I rise before the dawning of the morning. I cry for help. I hope in your word. Friends, we have a bunch of people hoping in a bunch of things. I hope we're hoping in the word of God. I hope we're spending a lot of time with God in his word. That's what a comfort is. Many people are looking for hope from people online, and there's not a hope, there's not much hope with people online. There's a lot of negativity online. Get in the word of God. Stay in the word of God. Stay focused on God's word. That's where the psalmist said, my hope was in the word of God. Even Job said on many occasions, as it relates to the hope of man, notice Job 14. I found this very interesting that Job would say in Job 14, as relates to man's relationship with a tree. Man's relationship with a tree. In Job 14, starting at verse number 7, he says, for there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Isn't that amazing? We've all seen that. Seen a dead stump in the ground, and the next thing you know, you find some life coming out of that dead stump. Hopefully, we can give some life to some people who are dead in sin, dead in hopelessness. Hope, the lifeline from God, you better believe it is. In Job 13 and verse number 15, Job is going through a very hard time. He needed some hope. However, notice, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own way before him. Job says, it doesn't matter how hard it gets, I'm going to trust God. In Job 14 and verse number 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change come. The hope that we have is that God will take care of us even in the midst of hard times. And remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12. Yea, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 16. If any man suffer as a Christian, suffering is part of life. Our dear brother, as he was talking about the sorrow of Jesus Christ, the suffering, Isaiah 53. Friends, since Jesus suffered and we're not greater than him, do you think we're going to suffer? But we have hope. If anything, COVID-19 should teach us that something's different about life now. This isn't business as usual. During this time, we must study the Word of God more, pray more, meditate more, thank God more. I was telling my wife just last night, I said, I need to be more thankful to God. She said, aren't you thankful? I am, but I need to be more thankful. This is the time to be more thankful in everything. Give thanks. Let your supplication be known unto men. The Lord is at hand. Be thankful. Friends, we need to be more thankful today. But Brother Mike, it's tough right now. I know, but be thankful. It changes your demeanor. It changes your disposition. It changes your attitude. Be thankful. We need to lean more on the brethren, more on family. We need to seek the well-being of others more. We need to offer hope more. And this will demonstrate our devotion and love to God. Turn back to the book of Psalms. In Psalm 40, I find it very interesting because when we are a hopeful people individually, then people will see that even in our lives. And friends, the lifeline from God is hope. Doesn't matter how hard it gets, how difficult it comes. We think about the children of Israel. We think about the church of our Lord in the first century. They had it tough. They had it hard. In Psalm 40 and verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. Is he hearing yours? I pray that he is. In Psalm 130, starting in verse 5, I hope you can identify with these passages. In Psalm 130, starting in verse 5, notice what the psalmist says here. He said, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord. Remember on last week, we was in the book of Lamentation. We ended that lesson in chapter 3, verses 17 through 26. And we were talking about how we ought to wait. Wait. Our hope waits on God. We don't get in front of God like Jonah did. We don't run away from God like Jonah did. We stay with God. He says, my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord. Notice, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. He shall redeem Israel. He shall redeem us from all his iniquities. It's interesting that the psalmist would say those words because we need those words. We need to hear that just as much as we need to hear the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We need to hear that just as much as we need to hear marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We need to hear those words just as much as we need to hear about instrumental music being offered in New Testament worship. We need to hear about hope. There's a hope, Brother Royce. We have one. We don't have to be despaired. We don't have to be despondent. We don't have to be blue. We can have a smile on our face. We can know it doesn't matter what comes our way as the children of God, just as Jesus made it to the cross and through the cross. We have to take up our cross and we'll make it too. Doesn't matter how young we are. Doesn't matter how old we are. Doesn't matter what situation we're going through. One preacher said a long time ago when I first obeyed the gospel, he said, in order to get to it, you got to go through it. And that's true. Sometimes it's difficult to go through it, but you can go through it with hope. You can definitely go through it with hope. We think of the idea of waiting in the New Testament, the idea of hupomone, girding under, remaining under through the trial, the trouble, the tribulation, the struggles, to persevere through misfortune, to endure, to bear bravely, calmly, even in the midst of ill treatment. Watch out, Brother Mike, are you sure? We don't like to be ill-treated. Jesus was. Isaiah 53, 1 through 12, he was ill-treated. They didn't treat Jesus well at all. As a matter of fact, they lied upon him, gave him a kangaroo court. It was a bad day, but it was a good day for the world. He gave the world hope. In 1 Corinthians 13, in verse number 7, our love must persevere just as the psalmist did. And as our love perseveres, our love for God grows stronger. Our love for one another grows stronger. Our love for the Word of God gets deeper. And for this, we understand that we must hang in there. In 2 Timothy 2, in verse number 12, notice what the Bible there says. You know, there is a reward. Friends, there is a reward to hanging on to your hope. In 2 Timothy 2, in verse number 12, we need to hear these words. 2 Timothy 2, let's start at verse number 11. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also, what? Reign with him. Don't you want to reign with the Lord? Don't you want to be with the Lord in the end? I know I do. I know you do too. That's why you're here. To see all of these beautiful faces in here. In the midst of all of the challenges that we have in this life, the social distancing, the mask that we have to wear, those things are okay for us. We need to do those things. To worship God, you better believe it is. We'll do what we need to do in order to worship God. Why? Because he's worthy to be praised, and he's worthy of our worship. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, notice what the Hebrews writer here has to say. Because we have an example, Brother Raphael, in Christ. We have an example of Jesus Christ who went through it. And because he went through it and we're following him. Remember what Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse number 2, notice what the Bible here has to say. I find it very, very powerful, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Listen to this, friends, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If Jesus could do it and did it, we can do it. That's the hope that we have. Jesus wouldn't ask us to do anything that he know that we couldn't do. And so we can love our enemies, and we need a bunch of that now, don't we? We can use words that build up Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32. We can encourage one another in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, Jude 20. We stop and we consider these words. In James chapter 1, we understand that we have to endure. If we're going to really benefit from the hope, the lifeline from God, in James chapter 1 in verse number 12, we have to endure. We have to endure. We got to hang in there because we have something to look forward to. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 11 of the book of James. Chapter 5 and verse number 11. Indeed, we count them blessed who endured. Who endured. I'll ask you a few things. Are you enduring? Do you have the hope? I could probably say that you do because you're here, even if you're struggling. As the people of God, we need to be reminded that it's okay to struggle a little bit. We wouldn't have Christianity without Jesus Christ struggling. We wouldn't live what we're living right now if we didn't struggle a little bit. Those who go to be with God have to endure, have to struggle. But friends, let's be like Rahab. What do you mean by that? Rahab, well, she was one of those women of, well, she was a woman of the night. She was a harlot. Here we have this woman of the night. Didn't start off well, but her heart, there was something about her heart that when she heard about what God did, she was ready to make some changes, ready to do some things differently, which demonstrates to us that a person may have a rocky start, but can end well. Here we see this woman, Rahab, she didn't keep that good news to herself. I need to save my family. Friends, let's share the hope. Let's teach the hope of the gospel to everyone as much as humanly possible. Let's keep telling people about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's leave no one out. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider. We want you to consider the hope, the lifeline from God. Your hope is only in Jesus Christ. It's in no one else. Acts 4, verse number 12. God did not put salvation in any other name, for there's no other name among men, under heaven, among men, whereby we must be saved. It's the only place where God put salvation. That's the only place where He put hope. Let's go out there and let's talk to people about that hope. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to turn away, turn, repent, turn, godly sorrow, works, repentance, turn. That's where the hope is. Be willing to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. He'll give you that one hope. He'll give you eternal life. The only thing you have to do is be faithful. Trust God. And just as Rahab trusted those spies' word, because those spies came from God, we can trust the words of Jesus because Jesus is God and He came from God. But maybe you're a child of God and you struggle in your hope. Don't struggle. Don't struggle. Make your mind up. I hope in God. I know this is going to work out. And it will. God will save His people. And just like there was a few that was saved by water, and there was a few that went into the promised land, only Rahab's house left Jericho alive. And Jesus would say this, few be there that find it. Let's have that hope. I want to be part of the few. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.